we left off with numerous Amoraim on Yudam and Beis, who, when they were introducing the subject of the Megillah and the Megillah story, they would start off with a pasuk that they felt summarized the incident or the situation as best they could. And we pick up with that. It's the very last line on Yodam and Beis, Ravdini Bar Yitzchak. Ravdini Bar Yitzchak pasach la pischa lahai parshasa mehacha. Ravdini Bar Yitzchak introduced the subject matter with the following pasuk. In Ezra it says, Ki avadim anachnu, we are your servants. Uva avdo seinu, when we were avadim to another kingdom, lo azavnu elokeinu, we did not forsake our God, vayet aleinu chased, and he therefore showed us favor. Lifnei malchei paras, in front of the kings of Paras. Now this never happened in the times of Ezra. So Amasai, when did this actually happen? Bizman Haman. This is a reference to the times of Haman. Rav Chanina bar Papa pasuk la pisuk la hiparshasa mehacha. Rav Chanina bar Papa introduced the matter with the following pasuk: Here kavta enosh l'roshenu. You have placed a man over our heads. Banu ba'esh v'mayim. And we have come to fire and water. Ba'esh, what is the reference to fire? Bimei Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, when he put everything aflame. Ubamayim bimei Paro, and water is a reference to the times of Paro, because obviously he drowned the Jewish newborns. The pasuk continues, Vatotziyenu l'Ravaya, and you took us out in abundance. Bimei Haman, that's a reference to Haman, because of all the biza and everything. Rabbi Yochanan pasach la pischa la hiparshasa mehacha. Yeah, they didn't take it, but I guess the abundance is the fact that the fact that the Jewish people were placed on a higher pedestal, financially, economically, because of the whole situation. So I guess their predicament changed, not just in the fact that they were saved from destruction, but that they were also, and I think the Gemara is going to go on to discuss that the Jewish people were enjoyed many side benefits from the destruction, the downfall of Haman. Rabbi Yochanan pascha la pischa la hiparshasa mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan introduced the matter with the following pasuk: Zachar chazdo ve'emunaso. The Beis Yisrael, he reminded Beis Yisrael of his chesed and emunah. Ra'u kol avsei aretz, the entire land saw es Yeshua Elokeinu, the salvation of our God. Emasai, when was this? Emasai, ra'u kol avsei aretz es Yeshua Elokeinu. When did everybody witness the Yeshua of Elokeinu? That's Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther. Why? Because Achashverosh ruled over 127 nations. And so, when all of this matter came to the fore, all the nations found out about it, and it became a big public spectacle, and it made its way to the 8 o'clock news.
So we switched the who markates the Zman, where it was the time of Haman, and now it's the time of Mordechai and Esther?
I guess when we're talking about when it's the same time period for sure. Good question. I was gonna say that the previous pasuk was referencing the negative part, the downfall of the enemy, but it really is. But Tosienu l'Ravaya is he took us out with abundance. Bimei Haman. No, it should say Bimei Mordechai v'Esther.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. Very good. That's a very good ha'ara. I don't have an answer. Very good ha'ara. I don't know. Reish Lakish pasuk la pischa hiparshas mehacha. I'm very unlikely to find. It's a very astute question. It's very unlikely to find it in the back. I would look in the Marsha. Mm-hmm. I would be very, very surprised if the Marsha usually doesn't. But maybe I'm wrong. Interesting.
interestingly, doesn't
the question, it? The question was that we were saying that when did these events happen? We said that this happened in the time of Haman, and it happens in the time of Haman. And then it switches the lesson and it says that it happened in the time of Mordecai and Esther. So why would
Which is the same time period.
Exactly. So why would we either give Haman the credence, or why wouldn't we just be congruous? Why wouldn't we keep it together in the same lesson?
Very good. But the Marsha does point out that Zachar Chazdo Ve'emunaso, this pasuk, is what is the chesizin, with the cause of the Yeshua Salokenu. Maybe that's what it is. Okay,
talk
good.
About 127 provinces. What am I asking?
Who do that Kush?
What is the from where to where?
What do
they go?
Hodu bad Kush.
So Lamaisa, what is that?
Turkey to Kush.
India?
What?
India.
India.
India, Pakistan.
Okay, so essentially it was the entire world.
That's remarkable. That's pretty remarkable.
Yes.
Especially in that day and age, before modern technology, where you
yes.
send ships and boats and planes and submarines and conquer places. How do you do that with bows and arrows and horses?
This is a very good question. It becomes an even better question as we see the Gemara later on that discusses that there are three people who ruled the entire world, Achashverosh being one of them, 127, and Achav, who was the Melech of Yisrael, was another one. But Achav was only the Melech of Yisrael, he was not the Melech of Yehuda. And certainly not of Mitzrayim. And so what does it mean that he ruled over the world if he didn't even rule over his own country? So you have to understand somehow that does it mean that he was literally ruled over 127 nations, or does it simply mean that he earned the respect of 120? He was the Donald Trump. So, well, no, that wouldn't be would not be a good example.
I'm not really sure.
That would
that's
not
how you're
be a good example.
To throw that in there.
No.
Yeah.
But the point is that everybody here, everybody in the world, is Machshav of the United States.
Might have been Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
Probably not also.
I don't know, yeah.
But maybe more so. But the point is that while that, like nowadays, everybody, for the most part, the world recognizes the United States. So Achashverosh's rule, his reign, was so pronounced that he was fully recognized. I don't... It's a good question. I don't know if it means...
I'm just thinking logistically, how does before this day and age of all the modern technology, how does somebody conquer that much
right.
of the world?
Right.
I mean, think about Alexander the Great. You know, he was dead at 32. He conquered, you know, vast areas. You put a vassal kingdom in there. You have a guy who's running the show. You die and the entire thing implodes.
And
or you do like the Mongols, where you have fear... And you put into that climate in there, and then once again, you administer it, but it happens, you know?
Yeah. And the Gemara also discusses how they, for each country had its own governor.
Like
he set up
like
a governor for each country, and the governor obviously governed that land and reported back to Achashverosh.
And you pay a tax. You know he's a vassal king of something, so it's not necessarily everybody all the time is waving the Achashverosh flag. But Achashverosh comes calling, you give him a couple shekels.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that type of thing. You know, it's kind of like every state in the United States, or many states in the United States, have local taxes. So you have the local governments, then you have the state governments, then you have the federal government. Anyway, so you have subs.
The world government.
Anyway, the Gemara continues. Reish Lakish Baslav Hisklav Harshas Mehacha. Reish Lakish introduced it with the following. Ari Noheim, the lion roars, Vidov Shokek, and the bear growls. Moshel Russia al Amdal. Russia rules over a very poor nation. What is this pasuk talking about? Ari Noheim, Zed Nebuchadnezzar, who was compared to Russia's Dichsiv Bey. He's compared to a lion, as it says, the pasuk says, Ale Arye Misovcho. Or Allah Arye Misovcho. The lion has risen from his Sovech is like being intertwined, being stuck. it says by the aisle, by Yitzchak, Ne'achaz basvach bekarnav, right? He was all intertwined and stuck. Anyway, Dov Shel Cake is a reference, Ze Achashverosh Dechsiv Bei Va'aro Chavaya Acharad, Achre Tinyana, Dame Ledov. This is in Daniel. Daniel referencing Achashverosh says there is another animal, a second animal that is similar to a dove. Vetani Rav Yosef Elu Parsi, and that's a reference to the Persian Sheochlin Mishosim Kedov. They eat and drink like a bear. I don't know what that means. Umisurval and Basar Kedov, and they have much flesh on them like a bear. I don't know what that means either. Magadlin Sayar Kedov, I kind of know what that means. They have a lot of hair.
Meaning what, the fat?
What?
The Basar Kedov meaning they're heavy, they're fat.
They're heavy, they're fat. I mean, I guess the dove is very heavy. I don't know if it's heavier than any other behema.
America's like a fat country.
Really fat country, okay, could be. Magadlin Sayar Kedov, and they grow hair like a bear. Ve'ein lahem menucha kedov, they have no rest like a dove. I don't know if that's factually correct. Does a dove not sleep? I think a bear, I go to the zoo, the bears are always sleeping.
I was at the zoo today and the bears were awake.
The bears are awake. What about the lion?
Under construction.
Under construction! The lion is under construction.
My kid was not happy.
Which zoo with this?
The Jerusalem.
Oh, Jerusalem zoo.
It's because they were all in the ark.
Yeah, I guess so.
I went to the one in I think Ramat Gan.
Oh, the safari.
That's a good one.
Safari is fantastic. It's fantastic. Did you go?
I have not been. This is the first time I've been to the zoo.
Oh, very good.
It's like an expressive.
Oh man, the safari is out of this world.
We were there today, and we were discussing this Gemara. I was like, I bet you it's on Yod Aleph in Megillah. And like, my wife's like, which one is a leopard? And I was like. Did a little bit more chazar, I could tell you which one's a bear.
Yeah.
I know which one's hairy.
Just to point of knowledge, I saw a video a couple months ago where a Chinese man in a Chinese safari got out of the car. And he was attacked by a lion and eaten a couple lives. So next time you're at the safari in Makan, don't get out of the car.
He was eaten by the lion?
Yeah, he was taken off.
They got into an argument. I saw this.
Taken off what?
He got out of the car in the middle of the safari.
There were two couples in a car. One of them got into an argument. The woman got out and then got mauled by this lion. And then everyone tried to like run back in, like we were going to handle this beforehand. And the lion put us in our place. Not like if this didn't happen, we should have definitely stayed outside the car.
It's a commercial show of us.
Wow.
Or investing with the Chinese. I don't know.
Wow, that's very unfortunate.
Couldn't have happened to more. Eating people.
Yeah, I guess not. Anyway, Moshe Rasha Zehaman. The Rasha who rules over, that's Haman al Amdal on a very poor nation. Elu Yisrael is a reference to Yisrael. Why? Shehim Dalim in a mitzvos, because they were very poor in mitzvos at the time. So they were taken advantage of. Rabbi Lazar Pazchal Apiskal HaParshas Mehacha. Rabbi Lazar broached the topic of the following. Ba'atzal Taimi Macham Kareh. With laziness, the mikare, the person who puts up the roof, becomes yimach, he becomes very poor. Ubashiflus yadayim, and with a very low hand, yidlof habayis, the house implodes. Bishviel atzal tayim, what does it mean when it says because of laziness? Shahailam le Yisrael shalo asker b'torah. This is a reference to Klal Yisrael, who were not Osik Petorah at the time. Nasa Sono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mach, it made Hashem poor, made him very like incapable, so to speak, Kaviyachol, of helping. Ve'ein Mach Elo Ani, and what does Mach mean? It means poor. Shenamar Ve'imachu Merakecha, if he's too poor for you. Ve'ein Mikare Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the roofer is a reference to Hashem. Shenamar HaMekarev HaMayim Ali Osav, this is a Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalet, who says that Hashem is Makare B'mayim Ali Yosav. He creates a roof of water for his aliyah, for his own abode. Rav Nachman bar Pasuk Lapis Klaper Shas Mehach. Rav Nachman introduces it with the following Pasuk. Shira Malos, this is a Shira Malos, Luli Hashem Shahayalanu Yomar Na Yisrael. If not for Hashem, says Klal Yisrael, Luli Hashem Shahayalanu Mekum Aleinu Adam. If it wasn't for Hashem, when man rose against us. Adam velo melech. It's a reference to Adam. It was Adam, meaning Haman, velo melech, not a king. Meaning Haman at the time was not a king. It's a reference to Haman, because it says, Bekum aleinu Adam, and not Bekum aleinu melech. So it's a reference to Haman, who wasn't the Melech at the time. Rava Rapaskal Apiskal Aprashas Mehacha. Rava introduced the topic. Beribos Tzadikim Yismach Ha'am. With many Tzadikim, the nation will be happy. Uva Mashal Rasha Ye'enach. And when the Russia rules, the nation will groan. Rabos Tzadikim Yismach Ha'am Zeh Mordechai. That's a reference to Mordechai Ve'Esther Dechsev Ha'ir Shishon Tzala V'Samecha. When Mordechai and Esther had their way, then the nation was quite happy. Uva Mishal Rasha Ye'enach Am Zeh Haman. It's a very, very sad time when Haman and the like are taking over the Chsev v'Ha'ir Shushan Navocha.
Is that the answer to our previous question?
Say, what do you want to say?
No, that we're saying, I'm trying to put it together.
Yeah.
Because here we're giving a definite connotation of when one is mentioned, when the other is mentioned. But when we're previously mentioning this Man of Haman,
yeah,
it's not a negative context, it's neutral, right? So it wouldn't, well, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
No. I got it.
Try again. Again, I mean, we wanted to know before why it is that the Gemara switches between Haman and Esther and Mordechai, but
here we're trying to define it, but it's not defining it.
Can you put a diacon? And you can put a diacon like that on in Chumash because every single word is the Bar Hashem, but in Gemara, can you do that?
Yes, can be that medayik, and the words in Gemara should be scrutinized equally.
I didn't say it can't be scrutinized, but I'm saying does it have the same weight in terms of the seder of the words that the Chumash has? I don't think so.
No, not the seder of the words that the Chumash has, but nevertheless there are drushas to be made. And there's you can definitely darshan it. You can definitely darshan it, and it's a very valid question. And it's a matter of how much time do you want to be spending on these types of agaritas, you know? I think I never heard him say it directly. But I believe it is quoted b'shem of Herschel Schechter of YU that a person can make a siyum on a mesechta without having learned the agaritas. So that is said b'shem b'shmo. That is to say that while the agaritas are certainly they certainly add to and contribute to the flavor of the mesechta, they are not necessary for the in terms of the requirements of.
You could learn like the anti Ein Yaakov and call shas a day.
Anti Ein Yaakov, but is there such a safer?
I don't. I'm sure it is, and
watch
I'm sure
the right one.
If I was such a Talmud Chacham, I would probably just learn and not pick everything out.
The Agaritas in the Ein Yaakov, according to this, the Agaritas in Ein Yaakov would not be necessary for you to be able to make it. So, you know, he's thinking more in terms of like halachic. In halachic terms, the Masechta is defined by the Gemaras that bring out the halacha. And Agaritas don't do that.
But you define the Gemara only by the halachic text, and then everything else is just, you know, why is it in there?
Drosh v'tani. No, it certainly gives you a hashkafa. It gives you
and most part in Yiddish.
Yes, yes. It is not to say that stuff is not important. In fact, the Mesillas Yesharim is a very opening line, essentially. In the Ramchal writes in his Mesillas Yesharim that for people who learn, who sit and learn, they view Musar and Hashkafa as if anybody who learns it is like an idiot. It's like, you know, you're totally, you must be dumb if you're learning Musar, to that point, you know? But he's like, but obviously he wrote Mesillas Yesharim, along with many other Hashkafic and Musar Svarim, so he obviously was well-versed. No, it is not to say that these Gemaras are irrelevant, but they carry different weight, for sure they carry different weight. Nevertheless, we shall learn. We shall learn. But yes, these types of things are what there's what to be medayik in them and to darshan in them. But you wouldn't look in a Haman versus Mordechai v'Esther in the Gemara as you would in the Megillah, and certainly not as you would in the Chumash.
But at the same point, you definitely wouldn't like throw the bath off there, say that like all these changes in the girsa are insignificant to how we understand the text
correct.
In itself.
Correct. Exactly. It is well documented that the Bach, every time he made a girsa change, fasted a day, at least a day, because he was because he cared so much and he wanted to make sure that what he was doing was correct. Anyway, back here. So Rav Masna, Amar Mehacha, he says the following, Kimi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. Who has a nation where Hashem is so close to him? That even where Hashem was, so to speak, pushing us away because of our terrible misdeeds, nevertheless, he was close to us. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha, oh, Hanisa elokim lakachas lagoy mikar of goy. This is a reference to how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And there are certain equations, certain parallels between the salvation of Mitzrayim and the salvation of Haman, the Chule. Okay, Mar takes a little bit of a sidestep over here to discuss, to get back into the Megillah itself. And it'll get back into it. There's a Girsa in the Gra that has this somewhere else. But we'll just continue as it is in our Gemara. The opening line is, it was in the times of Achashverosh. Amarav, Rav says, what does it mean? Vayehi, voy, vahai. It's a groan. It's like a, when a person reads that, he becomes very sad. That's what it means in the pasuk. You'll be sold over to your enemy as servants and as maidservants. And that's what it was. It was a vayehi. Times of Achashverosh were times of sorrow. Ushmul amar, lo ma'astim lo ga'altim lachalosam, lo ma'astim, I did not reject you, and I did not spit you out to destroy you.
Those are different, those are definitively different terms?
Ma'astim, ga'altim is a, ma'astim is a rejection, and Giul is like a polite. It's almost like vomit out. I mean, it sounds like
it's like the lashon like karach.
What?
Like the when karach is like vomited out of the.
Yeah. Giul is a reference to like you know, when tefilas kalim. When you do tefilas kalim, you do and hagala. Mm-hmm. Hagala is being polite. You're okay. Getting out all the juices from it, so it's like a you're spitting it out. Okay. So lo ma'asim b'mei Yevanim, in the times of Yevanim, I did not reject you. Lo ga'altim, and I did not further reject you. B'mei Nebuchadnezzar, when in times of Nebuchadnezzar, where things were really bad. L'chalosam, to destroy you. B'mei Haman, in the times of Haman. L'hafer b'isi itam, to uproot my to disavow my covenant with you. B'mei Parsim, that's in the times of Persians. Shani Hashem Elokeihem, because I am your Hashem, your God. B'mei Gog u'Magog, this is la'asiv lavo. Masni Satana, it is learned in the Brisa, Lo Ma'astim, I did not reject you, Bimei Kasdim, Shehemadi Lahem Daniel, Hananiah, Bishal Vazariah, I put certain Nevi'im up there, or leaders up there, I should say. Lo Ga'altim, I did not reject you, Bimei Yevanim, in the times of Yevanim, Shehemadi Lahem Shimon Atzadik, Mechashvenoi, Uvanov, Umatis Yahu Kohen Gadol. There's a reference to Hanukkah. L'chalosam, to destroy you, b'mei Haman, she'amati l'hem Mordechai ve'Esther. L'hafer b'isi itam, to disavow my covenant with you, b'mei Parsim, she'amati l'hem shalbeis Rav, shalbeis Rebbe, v'chachmei Doros. Ki'ani Hashem Elokeihem, because I am Hashem your God, la'asad lavo, she'ein kol umma v'loshtan yikol l'lishot b'hem, nobody will be able to destroy you. In other words, what this, to summarize, is that in every generation I have put tzaddikim there to right the wrongs of the generation. And that shows Hashem's tiba to us, Hashem's korva to us. Despite the times that we're in, despite the terrible misdeeds, we do not have to go on about our generation and how low we have fallen and how low we continue to fall. We nevertheless have the tzaddikim, and this is why the loss of a tzaddik, even a tzaddik as old as we had at 100, what was he, 101, 102, 103,
Rav Steinman.
Nevertheless, it's a tremendous loss to the door, because it's the tzaddikim and the Tamid Chachamim who are upholding our generation. And without them, we become weaker, mimela. Sad, very, very sad. Rabbi Levi Amar Mehacha, in Lo Sarishuas Yoshveya Aretz, he says that the times of Megillah can be summed up with the pasuk that says, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they will become thorns on your side. And that is what happened b'mei Haman is that we did not distance ourselves from these people, and they become thorns in our side, and then
now we're thrilled the arrow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Beautiful, disgusting animals out of
them. Exactly. Hana was right. Eric Ahana.
I should be the prime minister.
You should be the prime minister. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Okay. Or if you're the UN, welcome them in. Embrace them.
Give them money.
Give them money.
Give them Palestine.
Billions. Give them billions. Give Hamas billions.
Just $15 million in cash in suitcases.
That's all.
Just all. Just periodically.
An unlimited supply of missiles.
And a mostly unlimited supply of missiles and briefcases.
Well, we get guns.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
The Busha. It's a terrible Busha. I don't blame Nikki Haley for dropping out. That woman, I have no idea how she stuck in there as long as she did. I have no idea.
She was probably thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I'd like to get something in here so I can make me a career.
Maybe. She's been sponsored by Archdevil.
What? Yeah. Man. I feel bad for the next woman taking over.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on. I don't care. Nobody listens to it anyway. Yeah, I can do whatever.
You're not gonna get fired.
Yeah. Exactly. I just have David Stein to contend with. I'm okay with that.
You're not getting paid for this job.
And I know he's gonna ask me, what did you mean when you said, I'll be like, don't worry about it. That's what I'm gonna say. You heard that, David?
You heard that, David? Yeah.
Yeah, you okay with that? I don't care. Anyway, so V'haya kasher damisi la'asos lehem e'asel lachem. It'll be as I thought to do to them, I will do to you. This is the times of Haman where Hashem got extra mad. Achashverosh Amar Rav. What does it mean? Achashverosh. They're darshaning his name. Achiv shel Rosh. He was the brother of the Rosh. Uben Gilo shel Rosh, and he was like-minded as the Rosh. Who's the Rosh? We'll see. Achiv shel Rosh. Achiv shel Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Rosh. Shenikra Rosh. He was considered the head. Shenemar. Antu Resha Didava, you are the head that is made of gold. That's Daniel speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. And Ben Gilo Sharosh, he was the soulmate, so to speak, of Nebuchadnezzar. Because Hu Harag, Nebuchadnezzar killed many Jews, and Hu Bikesh Larog, Achashverosh sought to kill many. Hu Hechriv, Hu Bikesh Lahachriv. He destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar did, and Achashverosh sought to destroy Shenemar over Malchus Achashverosh Betchilas Malchuso. In the beginning of his Malchus, Kasvu Sitna al Yoshva Yehuda, he wrote negative plans on the Yoshva Yehuda of Yerushalayim. So he had sought to destroy them. He was not a fan of the Jews. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Shehushkaru Peneim Shal Yisrael. Achashverosh comes with the word hushkaru. Twist around the letters a little bit, comes out the blackening. He would blacken the faces of the Klal Yisrael, the abiyamav, kishule kedera, like the bottom of a pot. In other words, he would make them put him in terrible shape. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Shazokro. Why is he called Achashverosh? Because anybody who mentioned his name, Amar would say, Ach LaRosho. He would say, Ach LaRosho. He would say, Ach. He would bemoan the name Achashverosh. Rabbi Hanina Amar Shakol Nasu Rash and Biyamav. Why was he Achashverosh? Achashverosh means that everybody became poor in his time. During his reign, everybody became poor. How do we know that? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayasa Mamelach Achashverosh Mas. Achashverosh placed a heavy tax on people. And so that tax meant their financial demise. Hu Achashverosh Hu Barisho Mitchilas Vatsofa. The Pasuk says, Vayhibim Achashverosh Hu Achashverosh. Why does it say Hu Achashverosh? Because he was bad from the beginning and bad in the end. Hu Esav, it says similarly, Vayesav Hu Esav Hu Barisho Mitchilas Vatsofa. He was also bad always. Hu Dasan Vaviram. It is Dasan Vaviram. Hein Barisho Mitchilas Vatsofa. And also always bad. Hu Hamelach Achaz. Get where we're going with this? Glad. Avram hu Avraham. Hu Avraham hu bitzitko mitchilas matzofa. Avram was a tzaddik. So he says, hu Avraham, it's the same Avraham. He was consistently tzaddik. Hu Aharon and Moshe, hein bitzitko mitchilas matzofa. Same thing with Aaron and Moshe. V'David, it's by David it says, hu hakatan. He was the small one. What does it mean? Hu bekatnus mitchilas matzofa. Meaning he was always humble. Just like when he was younger, he would always humble himself, lower himself to he who was greater in Torah. Even when he was a king, he would always be mocked in himself, which is an incredible thing. It's an incredible midah. When you're a king, you're invincible. And nevertheless, he would lower himself, reduce himself to he who was wiser than he, which is an unbelievable midah. Hamolech, who Achashverosh, Hamolech, he ruled, Amarav, Shamalach me'atzmo. He ruled by himself. He was a self-made millionaire. Amri lalo shvach, for Amri lalo gnai. Some people say that that's positive, some people say in a negative way. Amri lalo shvach, some people say positively. Glohava inesh techashu lamalka kavase, because there was no man who was as well-respected as for the malchus as him. As some people say, but Amrila, some people say the opposite. Leganai, Deloha Chazil Malchusi, he actually wasn't fit to be a king at all. Umamona Yaseiru the Yoy Vakam, but he had so much money that he paid his way to the top. Mehoduvat Kush, he ruled over Hoduvat Kush. Rabbi Shmuel, there's Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, which is a Pele. Why is it a Pele? Because Chad Amar, Hodu Besofa Olam, the Kush Besofa Olam, one of them says that Hodu is on one side of the world and Kush is on the other, which is Mistaber, makes sense. The Chad Amar, Hodu Vakush, Gabi Hadadi Havu. They were right next to each other, which is difficult. Kishem Shemalach al Hodu Vakush, Kach Melach Besofa Olam Yad Sofo. And the point of the pasuk is to teach you that just as he rolled over Hodu and Kush, which were side by side, so too he ruled over all other countries without any problems. But again, Turkey and India, Hodu and Kush. So they can't be arguing a metzias over here.
Yeah.
Okay, they can't be arguing. It can't be a metzias dik a machlokas. It's not one guy's just saying that I think that they're incredibly apart, and one of them saying so. They're arguing about something else. I don't know exactly what it is. Machlokas is, but it's not a metzias dik a question.
Is it that he ruled over the world, or is it a euphemism?
Yeah, it's a euphemism for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that the Amoraim seem to be arguing about where Hodu and Kush are positioned.
But then we're talking, it has to be, I don't understand.
I don't know exactly. The Marsha does address this issue. He does address the issue. And I don't know what it is. Anyway, we go on. Okay. Kayotzi v'davar, similarly, Ata Omer, you can say, Kihu rode b'chol ever hanahar, mit pasach v'ad aza. This is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech, who ruled over the entire ever hanahar, mit pasach from Tavsach until Aza. Now again, that's a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel. Chalamar Tavsach b'sofa olam ve'Aza b'sofa olam. One of them says that Tavsach was here and Aza was there. The Chalamar Tavsach ve'Aza gabi adadi ninu. They were b'hadi adadi avu. They were kabukaimi. They were positioned right next to one another. And k'shem shemalach al Tavsach ve'al Aza kach malach al kol olam kulo. And so the machlokas is that where they're positioned. But again, a very difficult machlokas. What?
I remember learning when I was learning Tanakh that Shlomo was he actually ruled over the whole world.
He did. He ruled over the whole world.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, see you. Bye. Yeah. Well, no, I remember learning when I was learning Tanakh. I remember that they said he was like the only king in history that ruled every part of the world or something.
Very good. This is a Gemara that we're going to learn in approximately 8 lines. And the Gemara, because I said the Gemara is going to discuss three people who ruled over the whole world. Achaz, Achashverosh, and
Shlomo.
No, Shlomo HaMelech is not one, which is why the Gemara questions, what about Shlomo? But it was actually Nebuchadnezzar. But anyway, we'll get there in a few lines. So we will get to that Gemara. And the Gemara is going to question, what about Shlomo HaMelech? He ruled over the whole world. And the Gemara is going to answer exactly like you answered, which is, we'll see. we'll see exactly how it answers it, but you're mechavin without even knowing what you're mechavin to.
Say too.
That's basically the story of my life.
That's the story of your life.
I never know what I'm talking about.
You're all about your, as the Gemara says, your niba velo yada maniva. You're prophesying out. And you didn't even know what you were prophesying.
Stuff comes out, whatever sticks.
Exactly. Sheva v'esrim mei medina. He ruled over 127 nations. Amr Rav Chizda b'tchila malach al sheva. Initially, he ruled over seven. Ulubasof malach al esrim. Then he expanded his zones to 20, ulabasof malach ameya. And then he expanded to more, to 100 plus. Elameyata says the Gemara, if you're going to darshan and say that it was 7, then 20, then 100, ushne chaye amram, when it's, the Torah says the lives of Avraham was sheva, ushloshim umay, umashana, my darashtabe. How are you going to darshan that? It's just saying is years. So the Gemara says, shiny hachana, this is different. Because the reason why the Gemara darshan 7 and then 20 and then 100 is because the Kroy Yaseiruhu, there's an extra pasuk. Why? Because Michti, let's see, Ksiv Mehodu Vad Kush. First it says he ruled over Hodu Vad Kush. So then Sheva V'esrim Mamea Medina Lamali. Why then does it have to say 127 nations? We know how many nations are resting between Hodu and Kush, and therefore we should know already it's 127. Why then does the pasuk say 127? That's to teach you the drasha. My minala drasha. To teach you the drasha that he actually first ruled over 7, then added 20, then added 100. So I don't know if this is, if this Gemara is saying l'shvach avachashverosh, that he had a very he built up his empire. You know, it wasn't like he purchased it all at one shot. It's like they make a big deal about the, you know, everybody says, well, big deal, Donald Trump was a millionaire. He started off with, you know, he started off with a father who was a multi-billionaire. So what's the big deal? But Donald Trump was, and Donald Trump was given $1 million by his father. But we know million dollars comes and goes by some people who don't know how to invest it. And Donald Trump took $1 million and made an empire out of it.
What about the correlation between Sarah Maynard's years and
oh, I thought you were going to ask the correlation between Donald Trump and Achashverosh. No, and I would have said yes!
Yeah.
And now you're asking something different.
Now I'm asking something different.
What are you asking?
The years of Sarah Maynard's life.
What about it? Oh, that's another good question. And I think the Gemara is going to address that too. If not here, then where else is it addressing? Taka. Sheva, Esrim. Hayucha Yisrael, Mea Shana, Esrim Shana, Sheva Shanim. Good question.
Interestingly,
by Sarah, it says it goes the opposite direction. Is that your question? I don't know. The Gemara, as we know, the famous Rashi in Parshas Chayisara says, what is 100, why 20, and why 7? She was like 100, like a 20-year-old. When she was 100, she was like a 20-year-old, below chait. And she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old in beauty. So I don't know. But for some reason, maybe over there also, the Pasuk wants them, sees fit to make a drasha because of the fact that it's working backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Tana Rabbanan, we're gonna go on. We're gonna get to the next two dots, which is actually far, but it moves extremely quickly. So bear with me. And because Rabbi Reiser brought it up, now is why I want to address it. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Malchu Bekipa. The Gemara calls it Bekipa. The Kippa is obviously like a round thing, so it's a reference to the world. There are three kings that ruled over the world. Be'eluhena, these are they: Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Now we know Achashverosh, as we just mentioned. But Achav, where do we know that from? The Chsiv, because it says by Achav, this is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, and Achav was searching hither and thither to find Eliyahu HaNavi, and couldn't, and he would go from one country to another, seeking out Eliyahu HaNavi, and asking people, have you seen him? And they would say no, and he would say, swear by it. Now, says the Gemara, if he didn't rule over them, how could he make them swear? So we see by the fact that Achav was able to make them swear is that Achav had power over them. Nebuchadnezzar, Dichsiv, Vahaya Hagoyv Hamamlacha Shelo Yitina Savaro Ba'ol Melech Bavel. Any nation that is no nation that does not lend his neck to the yoke of the Melech Bavel. So that's a reference to the Nebuchadnezzar who ruled over everybody. And Achashverosh had the Amar, and Achashverosh, as we said, he was Molech Mehodu Bar Kush Sheva Ve'Esrim Maya Medina.
I once heard in this being referred to as the people.
Yes.
That Chazal, that's the riot that Chazal knew that the world was around. I think I heard that once.
I was wondering that also when I learned that. I was wondering that because people point out a famous Rashi in Maseches Gittin who, and I don't remember where the Rashi is, somewhere early in Maseches Gittin, who seems to point to the fact that the world is flat. And people say, well, then Rashi didn't know. But I was wondering as I was learning this, I'm like, doesn't that seem to insinuate that they thought that they did feel that the world was round?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Even at the time of Rashi, most people in science understood that the world wasn't flat.
Is that true? Already by that time?
But there's some evidence that by the time of the Greeks, there were theories of the world.
Really?
Yeah.
How would they have known that? I mean, they didn't get very far.
I don't know if it's about distance.
Right, but I'm saying
if you get high enough, you can see the curvature of the Earth.
Uh huh.
So I don't know if it was a logical deduction, but there's evidence to say that for thousands of years, the vast majority of people, and then during the Dark Ages, people lost a lot of this technology, lost this information, and then kind of regressed back.
The standard proof is that when you see a ship coming up, you see the top of the ship.
Like it's to see the curvature of the Earth, you don't have to have a broad understanding of the size. You just need to have
Flintstones episode. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be learned on the Flintstones episode.
Read this talk Christopher Columbus a little bit.
Take a soccer breath.
Okay. Anyway, that's about as much of your childhood as we want to know right now. Says the Gemara onward, Simen Shasdach. The Gemara is now going to present, it's the next Amud. The Gemara is now going to present four other possibilities of people who did rule over the entire world, and the Gemara will reject them. And the Simen that you should remember who the Gemara is trying to bring up is Shasdach. The first one will be Shlomo HaMelech. The Suleka says the Gemara, are there no more people who ruled over the entire world? V'haika Shlomo. Shlomo ruled over the entire world, as Rav Reiser said. The Gemara says, no, lo solik malchuse. He did not complete his malchus. He was deposed. Says the Gemara, hani chalamanda amar melech vehedyot. That makes sense according to the person who says he was once a melech and then he became a commoner. But elamanda amar melech vehedyot umalach, that according to the Manda Amr, who says that he was a king, then he became a commoner, and then he became a king again, so he did live out his malchus. So Ma'ikel Amemar, what are you going to say then? Why isn't Shlomo included in the three? Or why isn't he a fourth? So says the Gemara, as Rabbi Reiser pointed to, Shlomo milsachri sahavabe. Shlomo had one thing greater than the other three. What was that? Shamalach al ha'elyonim v'yala tachtonim. Is that he was molech on everything. I mean, mamish, everything. Not just the tachtonim. He was mamish. He had malchus on everything. He understood everything. He understood the birds. He understood all of life and all of beyond life.
What does that mean? He was deposed. He was a melech for 40 years. From the age of 12 to 52. I think he died at 52.
Yes. There are opinions that he was at some point, he was
kicked out and came back?
Yeah. I think that... yeah.
Since when does who care that Malchus involves your...
It was all... There was a whole Russia investigation, and then
really?
They just... Yeah, and then they just...
What's the...
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little email issue?
It was... Right, exactly. It was an email probe.
Email gate.
Yeah, email gate. Yeah. It was a whole thing like that.
Since when does he care that Malchus is attributed through the birds? Shkoyach to Shlomo Melech. I think it's Gevaldik, but... But that doesn't seem to me explicitly as a way that we understand his malchus.
Yeah, I understand.
Don't communicate with an animal, and there are people bowing down to you.
I can't communicate with my wife and my kids.
It's a good,
so I'm
it's
not
a
really
question.
Sure if I'm going to go to the animal.
The Gemara originally introduced it as Shalosh Malchu, Shloshu Malchu Bekipa. The Kippa is a reference to our world, right? So, Erechanami, Shlomo was certainly Molech over that. The Gemara is simply saying he had one up over these three. He was on a much higher Madrega. It's true, he was Molech on the Kippa also. But he was even greater than that. So the Gemara doesn't even bother to bring him up. But in Echanami, he would be another choice. But the Gemara says, "I v'ha hava sancheiriv." What about sancheiriv? Dichsev mi b'chol Elohei haratzos ha'ele. Who among all the gods of these lands, asher hitzilu es artza miyadi, who was able to save their land from me? He is boasting that he ruled over everybody. He captured everybody. But says the Gemara, and actually he didn't, because Ha'ika Yerushalayim B'lokavsha. Famous story is that he was not able to be Kovesh Yerushalayim. And there was a sudden plague that happened, and Malachim came and destroyed his whole army as he was about to encroach upon Yerushalayim, and then he had to backtrack. He had to retreat. So he never conquered Yerushalayim, Lamaisa.
San Kherev was the king of... What was his deal?
San Kherev was... Bavel? No, Ashur. Mm-hmm. Ashur. And Assyria, which is Nineveh area. Bavel, really.
His descendant was Shemaiah and Abitur, I think.
Yes?
I think so.
Yes.
Because there's two pairs of Zugos that are, one's the descendant of Sankara, and another one's the descendant of Hanan.
Really?
Yep.
All right, somebody has some homework to do. You'll let me know on Thursday, Mitzvah Shem, if you remember. Which you conveniently...
Well, I can remember things like that, don't worry.
What?
I can remember stuff like that.
Oh, very good. Then please share. Okay. That would be great. That'd be awesome. Okay, fine. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, no, the Yerushalayim, he was not Kovish, so he was missing one. I says the Gemara, v'ha'ika Daryavish, but there was Darius. Dichsiv, Daryavish Malka, this is in Daniel, I believe, it says, Daryavish the king, kasav l'chol amamaya umaya v'lishnaya. He wrote to all of the nations, all the people, and all the Lashonos, all the languages. Didairin b'chol aro shal mechon yazgei. He says, everybody living in these lands, let your shalom, let your peace multiply. So he's writing to all these nations. So it sounds like he is ruling over all the nations. Says the Gemara, no, ha'ika sheva d'lo malach alayhu. He was actually seven short. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says elsewhere, shvar kadam daryavesh, it was pleasing in front of daryavesh, vehikim al malchus la'achshar panaya. He established on his malchus governors, meya ve'esrin, 120. So as we know, there were 127, so he lacked seven. So he was actually seven short. The ha'ika koresh, what about Cyrus? Dichsiv, as it says by Cyrus, kuamar koresh, melech pras. Koresh, the king of pras, says, Kol mamlachos ha'aretz nasan li Hashem. Hashem has given me all the mamlachos of the land. Sounds like he's got it all. Says Gemara, nah, hasam ishtabuchi with the Gemara shtabech benafshe. He's just boasting. He had far less than the full 127. He was just boasting.
All right, that was a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff. And the Gemara on Thursday is awfully interesting about the Kelim, Mekelim Shonim, that Achashverosh took out the Kelim of the Mikdash. Yeah, and why he did it, and the Cheshbon. It's a very interesting Gemara. So we will get there.
Is that also with the Gemara with Shimon HaTzadik and the Big Day Kahuna?
Yes, there's a Gemara that discusses that Achashverosh also wore the Big Day Kahuna. Yes, I believe it's in that Gemara. Yeah. I believe it is.
Like three dapple, like, I believe the